श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी की, श्री श्री गौर अनिताय की। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 Chapter 13, Rahugana converses with Jatparat, and we're reading verse 23, though I prepared verse 24, but it's very close, so we can read verse 23. Namo Mahabhyastu Nama Shishubhyo. Namo yuvapyo namavatubhya. Ye brahmanagama vaduta lingas. Charanti tebhya shivamastu ragyam. Namo mahatbhyostu namashishubhyo. Nama yuvapyo namavatubhya. Ye brahmanagama vaduta lingash. Charanti tebhya shivamastu ragyam. Namo mahatbhyostu namashishubhyo. Namo yuvatpyo namavadatubhya. Ye brahmanagama vaduta lingash. Charanti tebhya shivamastu ragyam. Ye brahmanagama vaduta lingash. Charanti tevya shivam asturagyam. Ladies. Namo mahabhyostu namashishubhyo. All obeisances. Mahadvya. Unto the great personalities. Astu. Let there be. Namaha. My obeisances. Shishubhya. Unto those great personalities. Who appear as boys. Namaha. Respectful obeisances. Yuvadbhya. Unto those who appear as young men. Namaha. Respectful obeisances. Avatubhya. Unto those who appear as children. Yeah.
Yeah.
All those who? Brahmana.
Self-realized in transcendental knowledge.
Gam. The earth. Avadutalinga. Who remain hidden under different bodily guises. Charanti. They traverse. Tebhya. From them. Shivam. Astu. Let there be all good fortune. Ragyam. Unto the royal dynasties or kings. Between parentheses, who are always very puffed up. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the great personalities, whether they walk on the earth's surface as children, young boys, avadutas, or great brahmanas. Even if they are hidden under different guises, I offer my respects to all of them. By their mercy, may there be good fortune in the royal dynasties that are always offending them. Purport. King Rahugana was very repentant because he had forced Jatbara to carry his palanquin. He therefore began offering prayers to all kinds of brahmanas and self-realized persons, even though they might be playing like children or hiding in some guises. The four Kumaras walked everywhere in the guise of five-year-old boys, and similarly there are many brahmanas, knowers of Brahman, who traverse the globe either as young men, children, or avadutas. Being puffed up due to their position, the royal dynasties generally offend these great personalities. Therefore, King Rahugana began to offer his respectful obeisances unto them so that the offensive royal dynasties might not glide down into a hellish condition. If one offends a great personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not excuse one, although the great personalities themselves might not take offense. Maharaj Ambarish was offended by Durvasa, who even approached Lord Vishnu for pardon. Lord Vishnu would not grant him pardon. Therefore, he had to fall down at the lotus feet of Maharaj Ambarish, even though Maharaj Ambarish was a Kshatriya Grihastha. One should be very careful not to offend the lotus feet of Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyanagana Shalakaya Shakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, I'll have to keep the class shorter today because we're leaving with Shamasunda Prabhu and Rita and Manohar to visit a project in Holland about 2 hours away from here, so we have to leave quite early, 8:30. And I'll make it even shorter because I would like to hear some discussion on the topic, which I find is a very, very important topic for devotees. The topics that I find are all pervading in these verses, in this chapter, is the topic of offending Vaishnavas, forgiveness, criticizing Vaishnavas, etc. So this for devotees is a very important topic because Krishna consciousness is based on yoga of devotion of the heart. So this is a very important matter which only concerns the heart. It's not a philosophical issue. It's not an austerity issue. It's not about austerities or philosophy or knowledge. It's about really what's in our heart. And criticizing, forgiving and offending devotees, insulting devotees, are all things of the heart which have great, great impact in our lives, in our devotional lives. Srila Prabhupada finishes the purport by saying one should be very careful not to offend the lotus feet of Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. So for devotees it's particularly important. It's important for any human being, for any spiritual practitioner. But I think for those who are following the process of Bhakti Yoga, Krishna consciousness is the most important. Because even if one is very austere, very knowledgeable, whatever one may, all the credits that one may have, if one offends a Vaishnav, insults a Vaishnav, unduly criticizes a Vaishnav, then his spiritual advancement and all these qualities will be diminished.
Srila Prabhupada quotes the example of Durvasa Muni, who was definitely a very qualified personality, but because of this offense to a Vaishnava, then he was in big trouble. So if Durvasa Muni could be in trouble, then we should also consider that we can be in trouble if we insult, offend, unduly criticize a devotee. So it's such a big topic that I would like to say a few things that come to my mind, but I would like to also hear from senior devotees and anybody who has some realizations on this topic, because it's really a matter of realizations of one's experience in Krishna consciousness with this very, very sensitive issue. One thing because I prepared verse 24, they're very much connected. In this verse specifically, it's mentioned about great personalities who apparently take the guise of ordinary, human beings, children, brahmanas. We might not see them as great personalities like Jat Bharat. He was the example. He was a very, kind of avaduta person, and didn't seem so exalted from the external point of view. But the king had sufficient knowledge to realize that when he spoke, this was not a ordinary man on the street with no real purpose or qualifications, but he was a very exalted personality. So he had at least that intelligence. And then he not only asked his forgiveness, but he asked forgiveness from all the brahmanas and great personalities who take different guises and who might be playing as children and doing all kinds of things in human society. So this is a very good example to remind us that we shouldn't get carried away on the externals, especially when we're neophyte devotees. We get very easily carried away by the externals. We look at the guru, if he's very, kind of like a very big personality and doing a lot of external things, and and positions, and the looks, and all the external things. But actually, we should be much more, careful and understand that great personalities can come in very disguised ways. And so we should be very careful, since we're not able to actually see or appreciate these great personalities so easily. Well, then we have to be very careful how we deal with everybody, every devotee, every human being, because we don't know who's behind that external disguise, let's say. So the point that in the next verse 24 that I wanted to bring up also is that Srila Prabhupada in the purport and in also in the translation, it's very clear that advanced devotees, great devotees like Jat Bharat, they also have feelings. Like it's mentioned in the verse and in the purport that their his mind was agitated or disturbed by the insult from the king. So it's not that great personalities and great devotees, because they're so detached and advanced, they have no feelings, they don't have any emotions. No, they actually do feel hurt and they do feel offended, but the way they react to the situation is where the actual greatness comes out. So Jat Bharat did not ponder on this agitation, and because when we're neophyte and when we're not devotees, then when we get offended, it's like we carry it for the rest of our lives, and we put more fire, and we kind of give it all kinds of life. This offense or this insult that we received. Well, Jat Bharat did feel there was some agitation in his heart and some disturbance was there, but he reacted in a different way. He let go of that very quickly. He forgave very quickly, and he started preaching. Actually, he took the opportunity to start talking about the soul, about the reality of this world. So that's how a great personality is seen. It's not that they don't have feelings, but they react differently than ordinary human beings or us neophyte devotees. We have a tendency to get very agitated and very disturbed, and we even maximize it even more and make a bigger story and when we feel insulted or hurt. So this is a big topic, because how do we deal with this issue of you know, feeling offended, feeling hurt, you know, insulted, you know, on the side of the receiver and also on the side of the one who does that misbehavior, this offense. And it's not an easy topic, because it's not something that you can philosophically or, you know, clearly say this is the right way, this is the wrong way, this is how it should be done, because it's a subjective, it's how people perceive things, it's about perception. And, you know, the two extremes are, on the one extreme you can have a very sentimental kind of approach where, you know, sometimes we see that, you know, especially in India, we see that a lot, that, you know, everything's fine, everybody's fantastic, everybody's great, you know, because they're afraid of making offenses, of course, so they over-exaggerate this, you know, not seeing things as they are and trying to avoid criticism. You know, there's a good element in that, but if it's carried to that extreme, that, you know, we can't do anything because we might offend somebody, we can't correct anybody, we can't criticize in a constructive way anybody, then it becomes a very sentimental, you know, kind of wishy-washy type of approach. And then on the other extreme, you have, you know, you can be very hard and you know, and of course be very critical and see everything in a very critical eye, and that's also very detrimental for spiritual life. So we have to find the balance and also know what our position is. Some of us have position of authority or responsibility of leadership with others, so then it's our duty to sometimes, you know, correct and criticize, you know, in a positive way, things that are done wrong, you know, try to educate, train, you know, get devotees to understand things properly. So one has to sometimes, you know, criticize. We're put in that position, especially certain positions, that's basically their main service, is to correct things and make sure things are working properly. So you know, it is a lot to do with the service that we're doing. It's a lot to do with, you know, trying to do it in the right way, you know, correcting devotees in the right way, and you know, using the right words, and always be ready to ask for forgiveness, because, you know, even if we do it out of duty and the intentions might not be bad or with a bad motive, then still it's very healthy to once in a while to, you know, ask for forgiveness in case anybody felt offended. But we cannot operate as an organization or as a spiritual institution if we can't say anything or do anything, because everybody might feel offended. And because we're devotees and we're practicing Krishna consciousness, we're very sensitive to that. You know, we very easily, you know, feel that we've been mistreated, that some wrong has been done. And of course, sometimes it's true, wrong has been done, and we need to rectify these things. Devotees have to be willing to ask for forgiveness and to correct themselves when they went over their allotted responsibility. And that's very difficult, to find the right balance where you know, you can be authentic and at the same time have these qualities of forgiveness, like the great Vaishnavas like Jat Bharat. And I think the topic of forgiveness has not been discussed so much in our society, and nowadays it's coming out a lot. There's even Mahatma Prabhu who's developed a very successful seminar on forgiveness. Because, you know, sometimes we carry this, you know, we're offended, we've been mistreated, or we feel hurt, and we carry it for a long, long time. And we haven't learned the art of forgiving, the art of, you know, coming to terms with certain things. And that doesn't, you know, it's wrong to offend, it's wrong to do these things. And Krishna, as Srila Prabhupada says, they are reactions. In the purport of verse 24, it says, if one does not do so, the reactions will remain and the results will not be very palatable. So for the one who does offend or commit, you know, these offenses to the Vaishnavas, he will have his reactions. But the one who feels hurt or offended, he also has a duty to overcome this, you know, to advance in Krishna consciousness, one has to lighten up the heart, so he has to learn the art of forgiveness. Otherwise, you know, if you really are waiting and you keep that so prominent in your life, it's very difficult to make spiritual advancement, because, you know, it's heavy. It's a heavy thing in our consciousness. It doesn't allow us to maybe do many things, because we're kind of stuck into this offended attitude. So both, you know, we have to learn the art of forgiving, and we have to be very careful in how we deal with each other, in when and how we use the element of correction, of criticism in a positive way, of correcting somebody, of rectifying somebody's activities or behavior, or even, you know, thoughts and words. Of course, the spiritual master has the most responsibility in that, because he's probably the only one who can actually, you know, in some ways insult us, in the sense of like really waking us up and call you fool or things like that. For others who are not in that position of very close relationship, it's very, you know, very dangerous to insult, use insulting words. But sometimes the spiritual master disciple, he might use very strong words to wake up the disciple from some heavy attachment or heavy misunderstanding or situation. So that's probably the prerogative of that type of close relationship between a devotee and his shiksha or diksha guru. It's like the parents sometimes have to really use strong terms or strong language to wake up their children and make them do certain things like that. So we have to be, you know, we have to be very careful, because devotees are very sensitive. So, you know, you have to learn the art of being able to function and do things, because, you know, we are a movement of, you know, we have responsibilities, we have things to do, we have things to accomplish. So in that process, you have to correct persons, you have to sometimes be a bit out, you know, kind of strong in getting things forward. And at the same time, we have to learn the art of, you know, asking devotees to forgive any mistakes we might be doing in these responsibilities, because everybody's very sensitive, and perceptions are as important as, you know, as the actual activities and the things that are happening. So also I was quite amazed that in this situation, Jat Bharat, he chose, instead of pondering on this agitation and this offense or this insult that he received, he really, you know, took to preaching, you know, to really start to talk about the nature of the soul, the nature of this world, and this is really like a healing in itself, you know, to preach to go out and preach, you know. Sometimes when we are in this like heavy situation, to go out and preach takes us out of all these negative feelings and negative emotions. So preaching is a very good tool. Of course, we have other tools that are there to help devotees to forgive and ask for forgiveness and be careful in our dealings. And of course, here in the verse from today, from verse 23, then we have to be very careful with the externals of how, you know, somebody might be positioned externally in society, even within our Krishna consciousness society, that since we're not very advanced, then we have to be extremely careful not to take things, you know, in the external way, that somebody, because they're in a certain position, or somebody because they're doing some menial service or something simple in the temple, that they can, you know, they're less advanced or less they deserve less spiritual care and respect. So this is a big, very important lesson that we can learn from the example of King Rahugana, who, you know, those who are in opulent positions, they have a tendency to become proud and look down upon others. Especially in India, those who have higher positions have a very, very strong tendency to, you know, kind of look down upon those who are doing more simple work or who have, more simple birth, like that. But in Krishna consciousness, that doesn't work. If we really want to make spiritual advancement and in a society of devotees, all these externals, you know, have a very limited function, because it's, you know, we're really based on devotional service, on surrendering to Krishna, and we don't know who somebody in a very apparently very simple body or service can be in the, from the internal point of view, where what their spiritual advancement and level is. So I would just like to ask, because we have to stop in a few minutes, if anybody wants to share some experiences or realizations they might have on the topic of forgiveness and how to be careful in one's criticisms of devotees and how to avoid an offensive mentality. Anybody wants to share some? For me? That's what I was saying. It's there's no magic formula. It's not something that you can, it's not like something like a verse that you can learn and then apply it. I mean, one verse that you could learn and apply when in regards to, you know, offensive nature, attitude is Trinada Pisunichana on both sides. If you feel like, you know, being aggressive to somebody, or if you feel that you've been hurt or mistreated. So that verse can always help us to be, you know, very humble and tolerant, like the tree. But it's something that, you know, it's something we learn as we advance in Krishna consciousness. It's natural that in the beginning we you know, our emotions are very strong and we feel very much like hurt, and but it's the secret is in how we deal with it, how we, you know, progress. If we feel that we're stuck and we feel heavy and we can't perform our service and we can't chant, you know, nicely, and everything becomes kind of blurry and gray and things become kind of negative, that means we're not dealing with it properly. Either we've offended somebody, so we should go and ask his forgiveness and excuse ourselves, or if we feel too offended and we're making a big thing of it, you know, try to learn the art of you know, forgiveness, tolerance, and like that. So it's a whole art, it's a process, it's gradual, it has a lot to do with a gradual advancement in Krishna consciousness. But we see that if we either offend or if we feel overly offended, then our devotional life is somewhat hampered. We can't be light and happy and jolly and performant. I mean, it's not that sometimes we do have to address the issues, because it's not that you can just say, oh, nothing happened, and you have to, you know, try to resolve it, you know, either by, you know, speaking with an authority, finding a mediator, all these facilities that we have in our society. But the general principle should be there, because otherwise, you know, there's not enough mediators in the world to help offended devotees and offensive devotees, because it could be like every second, you know, everything you say, people can feel offended, and then it's not a natural situation in life. But I was thinking, because you mentioned Srila Prabhupada, that we see, I was reading the other day that Srila Prabhupada, you know, could be very, very strong in criticizing something, and in the next second he could be very, like, the opposite, you know, glorifying the same person or the same situation, because he could see that that person or that situation could not absorb that criticism or that correction like that. So he couldn't, because he was very Krishna conscious. Of course, he could, like, really, the two sides could be there simultaneously. I think he used it with a journalist in the UK, with about the weather and hell and the whole thing, and the journalist was completely, you know, baffled, and, you know, he couldn't even operate anymore because of what Srila Prabhupada had said. And the next second, he immediately glorified the British, you know, civilization, empire, and society, and the whole. So, you know, in 1 second, without any, you know, problem, he could switch from one to the other, and because, you know, not everybody can take certain, you know, observations. So we have to be very sensitive to who are we talking with. Some people feel offended instantly, you know, especially in India. If you see that people feel offended by the slightest thing, you know, you move in the wrong way, you say the wrong thing. So we shouldn't become like that, because otherwise we can't function, we can't do anything. We shouldn't become hard-hearted, but we shouldn't be oversensitive and not able to practice Krishna consciousness properly. Is there a mastery problem?
Madhya. This critical attitude, you know, is actually just not advancing. You know, you can't just take a course, you know, understand some principles of interaction, but it becomes like you were saying.
It's a process. Thank you very much. So I have to leave now, but I just thought that the whole ISKCON movement is meant to bring people to the Madhyam platform. That's our goal, is to bring everybody to this level of Madhyam. And the whole process is geared toward that. So if we stick to the process, then we will come to that level of being able to deal properly with this issue of relationships with other devotees. And so thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Pramanandini.